Blog Talk Radio. Yes, man, yes, good. Yeah, and just want to thank you so much for doing it, yeah?
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, my life, you have been faithful. Oh, my life, you have been faithful. Oh, good, yeah. Every breath that I breathe, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. You know I love your voice, for you have led me to the fire. In dark of the night, you are close like no other. You know I've known you as a father. You know I've known you as a friend. And I have believed in the goodness of God. Oh, 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 my life you have been faithful. Oh, my life you have been faithful.
Oh, my life, you have been faithful. For your mercy never failed me all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so beautiful. Every breath that I ever breathed, oh, what a goodness of God. I love your voice. You led me to the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no one. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I come in the goodness of God.
We just thank you and praise you, O God, that you have allowed us to get over and get through the job we were dealing with on yesterday. Father, we are here on today. Praise you, to worship you, to bow down before you, to give you honor. We ask your forgiveness and we ask your mercy. We ask, O God, for healing today in our own body, in those that are suffering physically, mentally, and spiritually, O God. We ask for healing. We thank you for healing Prophetess Cheryl Kersey, sister, oh God. Daughter, I'm sorry. We thank you for healing her daughter and putting her in the right mind, oh God. Yes, Lord, we thank you, God, because you are faithful. All our lives you've been faithful, oh God. We, even when we are not faithful, you are faithful. We thank you, God, for healing her. Even right now, God, we know that you said you would do it, so we claim it already complete, oh God. And Father, we ask that you allow us to die to self today and every day, that we might be able to come to you and receive fresh anointing, fresh indwelling power that only comes from you, from the throne room. Lord, we thank you for our nation. and even all the things that the people that are in leadership are planning to do to this nation to destroy it. We know, God, that your hand is still on this nation. And, Father, that you would turn things around for our good and for your glory. Because men will do all that they can do, but you have the final say. You have the final say, the final judgment over everything that's happening in this nation and in the world. We ask you to bless the north, south, the east, and the west. Bless everyone, O God, under the sound of my voice, O God. Bless right now, Lord. And Father, allow your word to go forth today with power and with authority, O God. As we speak today about the valley, we're going to be speaking about the valley that you must die before you can live in the valley. The Lord, my Savior, my Lord and Savior, he told me so many people can praise him on the mountaintop, but they can't praise him and they won't praise him when they're in the valley. What they do in the valley, they complain. The valley is a place of testing, trials, and tribulations. In the valley is a place that we ought to be able to praise him, not only praise him when the job is going good, when the wife is acting good, when the husband is making sure that he take care of the family, when the children is acting good, but we ought to be able to praise him even in the storm, even when it's raining, even when it's thunder and lightning, even when the snow is coming down and we can't get out to go to work to make the money to pay the bills. We ought to be able to praise him and trust him and depend on him that he will fix everything for us. He will heal us when we are sick, and he would mend us when we are broken. This is what we have to put in our minds all the time. We ought to say, Lord, I know God will fix it. I know he's going to do it. Because why? He promised that. He said, I will take care of you. He said, I'll supply all your needs. He said, you shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall be the lender, not the borrower. So we have to live on those principles that the Lord has given us that we can depend on. So, Father, we just thank you. We praise you and we glorify your name. We honor you, Lord, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are above and not beneath. You are the lender. You will make us the lenders, O God, and not the borrowers, O God. We thank you for providing all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, O God. Father, we thank you again for healing the prophet's daughter. We thank you for watching over Deacon Fraser's father, even as he go through, O God. Lord, that he's still in the land of the living. We know that you're able, O God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us, O God. Lord, we ask you to clean our hearts this morning and give us the right spirit that we might hear and see and do what you call us to do, O God. Lord, we don't do this out of puffedness and out of pride, but we do this out of love, O God. You have made us a bond servant to your people. We ask you, O God, to speak to us and speak through us, O God, in Jesus' holy name. In the book of Psalms, let's start. We're talking about you must die before you can live in the valley. Because if you're not dead to self, if you're not dead to self in the valley, all you would do is complain. You will not see the hand of God. You will not experience the manifestation of God's power, God's glory in your life. Because all you will do is complain instead of praise God. The Hebrew boys, when they were even en route to the fire, they were praising God. They told the king, if our God don't show up, let us know. We just want you to know that he's able. He's able to do it. Hallelujah. If he don't show up, and guess what? Even the people that took them to the fire was consumed by the fire. And they were praying. They got in the fire. They were still praying. And the king come down and said, look, behold, I thought I put three, had caused three people to be cast in the fire. He said, but behold, I see four people now. Something is going on here. It don't look the same. You know, it's four people instead of three people. God, that God is just all. Here in the book of Psalms 23, we're going to read from two books, from the Logos and from the King James. And here in the Logos, he says, Yahweh is my shepherd. This is the Psalm of David. He says, Yahweh is my shepherd. I will lack for nothing. How David put all his trust in God. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, he said, I shall not be in need. Because God is supplying his needs. The psalmist portrays God as a shepherd, a common depiction throughout the Old Testament. The metaphor emphasizes he cares for and protection of his people. Hallelujah, glory to God. In Psalm 28 and 9, Isaiah chapter 40 and 11, we're going to hit Isaiah a little later, 40 and 11. But Psalm 28 and 9 says, let's look over there quick, fast, and come back to 23. Hallelujah, God, we parallel in Scripture. 28 and 9 says, see, David said, the Lord is his shepherd, he shall lack nothing, shall not want for anything. 28 and 9 says, save thy people and bless thine inheritors. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Listen, look. Glory to God. God is going to take care of you. I was prophesying to a lady in North Carolina this morning. And I was telling her that about her anointing. I ordained her about 5-6 years ago. And I was telling her about the anointing that's on her life. She was at the car dealership. It was at the auto repair place, and she drives a Cadillac too. She had a Cadillac Escalade, and I was telling her, she was saying the car wouldn't start. The car wouldn't start, so she had to get to her to the dealership or something, car repair shop. And she was there. She, you know, I could hear the depression in her voice. You know, because she was out of work for about 6 months. And God took care of her for the 6 months that she was out of work. She's a nurse. And I had to tell her, I said, look, it's going to be well. She was thinking that all these things are going to happen, igniters and all this stuff. The igniters are very expensive. I mean, I can put them on myself. I can buy them and put them on myself. But if you got to go, they're going to charge you, Trav, $1,600 to do it. So I told her, as I was talking to her, we were typing on the phone, on the computer. And I told her, I said, it's going to be well. It's going to be well. I just had a feeling in my spirit, just had a knowing in my spirit that God was going to not let the problem be severe because she wouldn't be able to take care of it. You know, she's just trying to get her foot back on the solid ground. She's going back to work. So she said, Apostle, he says, they told me all it was the battery. Well, I know this happened to me a few years ago. I had to go buy a battery and put the battery in, you know. So when the battery, it just goes. I said, man, I was thinking of all this work would have to do because every time I turn the starter key, nothing would happen. Well, the first thing you do is check the battery. It's just like in the house. If you go to turn on, the first furnace don't come on. If I come to a person's house and tell me they don't have AC, the first thing I do is check the fuse box. I check the disconnect box on the outside. And I take my tester and I check the two fuses, and I make sure that both fuses work. And sometimes one fuse go out and one stay. And if it has a breaker on the outside instead of fuses, I check and see if it's tripped. First thing you got to check, make sure power's going there first. You don't get all bent out of shape. So you have to die first to self before you can live in the valley. Because in the valley, as I said, in the valley is testing. It's a testing. So what we have to do, we have to get to a place where we are truly surrendered to God, submit to God, commit to God, let go of all that you want to do and let God. Go to get to that place where you surrender, submit, commit, let go of self, your own, I can do it myself, you know. We get that attitude. We get that mindset. I can do it. I don't need nobody. I don't even need God. You know, Polk said that. I can do it myself. I don't need God. I can do this. But be saying today that you must surrender, submit, commit, and let go and let God. God will fix things for us that we can't fix. Nobody else can fix. Money can't fix it. God will fix it. Your best friend, your wife, your husband can. Your son or daughter can't fix it. But God can. We just got to let go and let God. So here in this psalm, David said to the Lord, he calls him Yahweh, which means God supreme or sovereign. He says, Yahweh is my shepherd. I would lack nothing. I would lack for nothing. In grassy pastures, he make me to lie down. By quiet waters, he leads me. Now here, David calls him out as a shepherd. And he's saying that God is a provider. He's saying he's a not only a provider, but he's a protector. Oh, my God, my God, my God. He's a protector. He makes sure that I have everything, that we have everything that we need. David calls him the shepherd of, he's known as the shepherd of Israel. Several times in the Old Testament, this title is used throughout the Old Testament. About seven times in one chapter. But in the whole book, they're calling him the shepherd. Somewhere about 80 times he's sensed as the shepherd. The leader, the director, the one you can depend on, the one who he is, the one who delivers, the one who restores. So David continues, he leads him to grassy pastures, emphasizes the idea of nourishment and abundance. As shepherd, Yahweh cares for and provides for the psalmist. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14 and 15. The quiet, the Hebrew word used here, minutia, emphasizes rest and security. Yahweh provides for all the psalmist's needs, not some. Isaiah 32 and 20. See, once we understand this, he is not just supplying for some of our needs. Because Paul said that. He would supply all our needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not our wants, because sometimes we get big-headed. We want everything because this person on the road got this or that person up the road that we want to have the same thing. No. If your needs is being supplied, taken care of, man, why are you worrying about all this stuff? And you run around and say, well, the fella, that other pastor down the road has a Bentley. I'm just driving a 11 BMW. But you don't know what he's going through to hold that, to keep that Bentley alive. You know? You don't know what he got to go through, how much things he's doing to keep that, to get that Bentley. How many folks how much lies he tell, how much things he cheat. No. Comfortable. You got your little BMW. You can sleep and say, Lord, I got this honestly. I didn't cheat nobody. Didn't rob nobody. Didn't steal nothing from the church. And God, I'm resting now. No, God, because you give this to me. You supply this to me. I know. I didn't beat nobody. Hallelujah. So look this thing, man. He began to talk to himself. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What did God do? God take you from the place, the vice that had you and had you all locked up and you couldn't get out. You couldn't get out. But now we are out. Now we can't praise him. While we were in our vice, the vice is whatever sin, whatever thing that had you in bondage. And you were there. You couldn't get out. But God came down by himself, came himself and let us out, took us out. Matter of fact, he brought us out. He lead us out of the dungeon of hell. And we can't praise him now because we got a good job. We got a nice vehicle. We got to live in a nice neighborhood. You know, we like George Jefferson. We live uptown in a high rise. We doing great. Wearing the best clothes. Can go to the best restaurant. Eat the best food. We doing great. But now we forget that God brought us out where we came from. But David says here, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God brought us out for us to glorify him. Yahweh protection and care of the psalmist is not only for the psalmist's sake, but for the sake of Yahweh's name or reputation. We got to praise him. We got to praise him in the midst. We are out. We are out here now. We are on, God, on solid ground. No longer we are going back and forth to the jailhouse. No longer. This is why I send my son, post every morning, send him posts. I send him a sermon every day. Why? Because I don't want him, when he got some spare time, he can read it, he can listen to it on his phone. I don't want him to forget that God is the one who have him living in a nice home now. He has a nice 4x4 pickup truck, and he just bought him another small car, family sedan. You know, I want him to know that it's God that's doing it for him, brought him out of the jailhouse, and now he is able to do what thus says the Lord. He is working to give his family. This is what we got to understand. Don't stop praising him. When you're in the valley, you pray to get out. You praying to get out the valley. Oh, God, the valley's in the jailhouse. The valley's in the hospital room. The valley, my God, It's been everything has turned loose on you. You can't even get a job. You can't keep nothing, keep food on the table for your children. But now you got everything, more than enough. You forget to praise God. David, praising God. It is for God. And verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, the testing, in the valley is the testing. All sorts of testing come upon us when we're in the valley. Right, because we're not on his protection. See, I move away from him and I go in the valley, but God never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Even in the valley, he's with us. We walk away from him, but he's still with us. We're not praising him. We're not glorifying him. We're not lifting up his name. We're in the valley. Things are going south. Things are going south for us. And we said, well, I can't praise him. Why did I? God did not put you there. You put yourself there when you walk away from him. Preachers said they're throwing up their hand now. They tell me all over the country, churches are closing the doors. They're closing the doors because they can't preach. They don't have 1,000 people, 2,000 people. They can't preach. The congregation is going down to less than nothing. So they can't preach no more, to close the door. So really, they weren't working for God. They were working for the people. So once the people ain't coming anymore, they say, I can't go to church anymore. I can't preach. I told Pastor Vic, if nobody show up at the church, I preach. I preach to me and the angels. Me and the angels and the Holy Ghost, I preach to them. If nobody come, you got to say preach. Preach like if the church is full. He says here, a dark valley, the psalmist acknowledged that life will not always be characterized by green pastures and quiet waters. He will walk through darkness and gloom. Job experienced that in Job chapter 10, verse 20. In Psalm 107, David experienced it again, verse 10. You gotta understand that in times of ministry, you're going to find times that it's going to get real hard. Your wife's going to act up. Your husband's going to act up. The children's going to act up. You're going to wonder, why, if I'm the man of God, if I'm the woman of God, why is all this stuff happening to me? Then look at Jesus. He's God in the flesh, but he came down here as God's son. And all the stuff, I would read the book the other day that said how they spit in his face, slapped him, kicked him. All this is in the book. And the Father allowed all this Lord, to happen. God, Jesus went through as God in the flesh, went through all this stuff. He was in the valley. He was in the valley of shadow death for us so that we could live. He bear all the stuff that we should have been getting, kicked in the butt and spit in the face, but no, he got that happen to him. What we should have received, he received for us. And we don't want to praise him. Because if we're not on the mountaintop, no, on the mountaintop, your praise is showing off. Because you're doing well, but soon something goes wrong and the carpet is pulled from underneath your feet, you've got to fall on the ground. You can't praise God. Here in this country, when I was out there and I lost two homes. The last home I lost was $695,000 home, a 5-bedroom house, 3.5 baths. I was locked up for immigration. Things that my family should have done to save the house. My daughter that crossed over, may she rest in peace, didn't give Nancy the information that she needs so to save the house. And we lost it. But I still praise God. I had to lose that house because when I got the house, I was so puffed up, and I was a pastor in the church. I was an assistant pastor in a Portuguese church in Virginia. And I let the house got to my head because I was doing better than any other pastor. And that was a real getting to heart with me because God brought me down real, real low. So I realized that stuff, no longer do I worship stuff or praise stuff. I don't look at the car and say, well, my car's better than the next neighbor's car or the house better than this. No, I don't look at that stuff. I look at where my heart is. Is my heart really where God wants my heart to be? That's what I'm focusing on because I'm in the valley. I'm in the valley. I always see myself in the valley. I don't look at the mountain. Keep working on me all the time down here, all the time. I went out yesterday and did some work to finish that job for the lady. And I had to do it, help with her. I had to cancel my appointment. I had an appointment yesterday morning to see the eye specialist, and I had to cancel it because They said if he didn't got the stove, I put that stove out two times, put it back in two times. And now the third time I got to take it out and then put in a new one. So I had to go over there early to disconnect the old stove so when to come with a new stove. And I sat for a long time waiting for the people. A couple hours till they come. And if, see, they give you a window that they're going to come between this time and that time. And they can come before. And see, if you're not there, they're going back. And then you got to wait another 2 weeks or so when they can reschedule. So I went over there. And the time they come, I could have gone and got my eyes checked and still get in time. But now I got to hope that they find I get another appointment. Now I'm seeing all right, but I still want to keep checking. You got to check on stuff. Here in the book of Psalms, he says here, the psalmist acknowledged that life will not always be characterized by green pastures and green and quiet waters. He will walk through darkness and glooms. The evil, the Hebrew word used here, ra, can refer to hard or trouble, Job chapter 2 and 10. Even in difficult times, the psalmist will not fear any harm. No, if you can trust and depend on God when you're going through hard times, we come through times where people shot at us at close range, and we wouldn't even save and sanctify. And God protects us then. How much more would you think he would protect us now that we are under the shadow of his wings? How much more would he protect us now? But we have to trust and we got to build this thing up because it's the armor that you got to keep climbing. You got to keep shining your armor every day. How do you shine your armor? Glad you asked that question. Fasting and praying, studying the word of God every day. Every day. Hallelujah. Some days I go 3-4 hours. 3-4 hours just fasting. You know, just fasting. Because time of the day that I have to get myself to a place where I really can hear. The Lord told me this morning I was laying on the bed somewhere between 3:30 and 4. I was sleeping, but it was between sleep and wake. I heard the Lord say, he said, there's much evil in the earth. He said, but many people don't realize that there's more love in the earth than the evil. And he said to me, plain as day, and I shared it with somebody. He said to me, son, there's more love in the earth than evil. And most people don't recognize that because all they do is see the evil. He says, I'm still in control. I said, wow. It was so powerful. It took my spirit man to another dimension. He says, I'm still in control. Even though all the evil, he said, I see it. He said, but there's more love in the earth than evil. And most people don't see the love because they're constantly bombarded with the evil that's going on. They're hearing it. They're seeing it. The evil, 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 but they don't see the love. That's why so many people give up. So a young lady was going through so much pain, and she get to the brink of the cliff. The cliff is right next to the ocean. And she crying because she's in pain, and she kick off her shoes. I'm saying to myself, she wants to commit suicide because the pain that she was dealing with was too much for her. People, the people in the school were ridiculing her, all the schoolmates. Her mother had deserted her. Her father deserted her. And she figured she had nothing to live for. She took off her sneakers and wanted to jump in the water and drown. She can't swim. And something happened at that minute. She heard a voice. She get back up and decide, put the sneakers back on instead of falling in the water and drowning herself. There was nobody around. Sometimes we got to trust God. Not sometimes, all the time we got to trust God. Speak to us in a quiet voice. Let us listen to him. You're in the valley. Things that don't have no food. A lot of people don't have any food. A lot of people can't pay for the kids to go to school. Can't give them the school food. The lunch money, that's what I mean. And we complain. We got stuff. We got stuff in the fridge. We got stuff in the cabinets. Back in the country, they call them cupboards. We got food in the cabinets, and we still complaining. Can't give God any glory. And other people are down in the valley. I mean, they're down in the valley. They can't even stand up in the valley. They're so weak. David says, chapter 23. The 23 division of Psalms. Verse 5. Verse 4 says, he says, even when I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David declared this thing so clear. God is always protecting us, even when we can't see him, when we can't feel him. When our spirit is disturbed, he said, come on to me, all you that live in heaven, then I'll give you rest. He said, you can always come to me. I can start to pray. I can start to sing. I'm not a great singer, but I can start to sing. And the moment I begin to sing some worship sound, something happened to me. See, I'm calling on the rod and the staff when I'm worshiping and I'm praising, I'm studying the word, and something happened that comforts my soul. You know how to run up and call everybody in the mama? Because a lot of times when you call them, people, folk get stuff. All they wonder, well, I thought he was a preacher. Why he got to go? Why he going through so much stuff? Why is she going through so much stuff? You know, call on God. Go on and begin to talk to him. Talk to daddy. Talk to Abba. And guess what happened? He begins to comfort us. He says, son, daughter, I was just here waiting for when you would call on me. Comfort. He says, he prepared before me a table in the presence of my oppressors. You anoint my head with oil. My cup is overflowing. Let me see what he says here. Your rod and your staff, tools used by shepherds to guide sheep. Having sheep pass under a rod was a way of counting them. Leviticus chapter 27 and 32. Here the rod symbolized God's protection. God's protection and care, as where it serves as a symbol of divine discipline in Psalm 89, verse 32, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 14. Before me, he sets the table. The psalmist switches from portraying God as a shepherd to portraying him as a host. Hospitality in the ancient Near East requires more than providing a meal. The host was also responsible for protecting his guests. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 8. Since the shepherd as a guest enjoy Yahweh's protection, he can eat safely in the presence of his enemies. When you know God is covering you, you go to the mall. You know they shoot up the malls a lot. These gang bangers and dope peddlers and gangsters. But when you go to the mall, you already have on your armor. You go to the grocery store, you already have your armor. In the doctor's office, in the hospital room, excuse me, you have your armor because they shoot up the hospital too. So when you're in there, you don't have any fear. You're going to have a surgery. You don't have no fear. Some people are getting all messed up in the hospital. They're taking this stuff out. But when you go, you're already prayed up. I know they had to put stuff in my arm and put me on there. And yes, just a couple of weeks ago, I had a colonoscopy. They had to put you on with a colonoscopy. I told them, before you go, I need to pray. So I told the doctor and the nurse, I said, don't do nothing to me. I wasn't disrespectful. I said, please don't do anything. I got to pray first because this is very difficult time, and you're going under. You don't know if you're going to come back from under. You don't know what they're putting in the ivy. So I pray, because if something goes in the ivy that's not supposed to be in the ivy, God going to sterilize it. He going to neutralize it, and everything goes well. Hallelujah. You have to make sure that you know what you're doing. Going in there, don't go in there and just go and say, I'm going to the mall today. I'm going to the beach today. Sharks may be down, maybe laying in the shadow. So you get in the water, the shark come up at 6 feet deep. And cut off your leg. No, pray for everything. Pray for everything. Pray for your protection. Pray for that he be there. His rod and his staff comfort you. In the valley. The valley is where trouble is. It's where testing is. Trials and tribulations is in the valley. On the mountain top, everybody top shouting. They shouting. Nobody want to go down the valley. They're on the mountain top. When they get time to go in the valley, all they do is complain. Why did I have to go down here? Why did the Lord have to let me come down here? No. Sometimes God has got it. We have to go down the valley so we can get some of that stuff off of us, that thing that's keeping us away from God. Hallelujah. He said, you anoint my head with oil. A horse customarily anoints his guest heads with oil as they enter to eat. Psalm 45, verse 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 46. He says, my cup is overflowing, emphasizes God's generosity. He provides more than the psalmist needs. I was telling the prophet this morning, I said, you don't have to worry because God is your provider. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're the lender and not the borrower. I said, trust God for your needs. Don't try to do something outside of the realm of holiness to get your needs met. God is your supplier. He said so. He can't lie. And I'm holding him to his word. And he will come true. David said in Psalm 23, verse, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I would dwell in the house. See, that's the thing we got to think. When goodness begins to follow you, overtake you, don't desert God's house. Soon we get a fine car. Soon we get married. Soon we find a husband, a wife finds us. We find a wife. We desert God's house. I was in the church in Virginia, and people would come. Church was growing fast. And folk were coming from the Army, the Navy, and all different parts of the branch of service. And they were coming there. They liked the church. They liked the preaching. They liked the worship. All they're looking for is to find a husband or to find a wife. As soon as they find a husband or wife, they stay 2 or 3 months. Maybe a month, sometimes 2 months. Sometimes, and then they're gone. We don't see them. You know, when they come back, when Satan starts to attack them, they fall in the valley. Now they want everybody to pray for them. See, they desert God. They got a nice town home, nice single family home, job promotion on the job, promotion in the service. They have no time for God. But I tell you, why you on the mountaintop, you better keep praying him. You better keep praising. You better keep studying the word. You better keep fasting and praying and seeking him. Because look, the valley is just a stone throw away. The valley is right beneath the mountain. And if you slip on the mountaintop, guess where you're going? In the valley. In the valley. Hallelujah. I know this is good because all of a sudden, I woke up this morning, no mucus in my throat, no nothing, no phlegm in my throat, and all of a sudden, it's itching. But listen, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, surely goodness and loyal love with God as his shepherd and host. The psalmist is confident that he will be protected by God's unfailing covenantal love. See, God's love is covenant. He promised that he would love us, that he would never leave us or forsake us. Exodus 34 and 6. For a very long time, the Hebrew phrase used here, lehiach, gemin, literally means for a length of days. This does not necessarily indicate eternity. It shows the psalmist expects to be God's guest all of his life. He makes it very clear that he's going to stay in the house. I'm going to be his guest. We ought to be his servants for the rest of our life. But what happened is we deviate from our position, from our stance. We said, nah, I'm doing good. I don't need all that stuff. I don't need all that stuff. You know, we do that. We run out and we leave God here in Psalm 1, verse 6. He says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly should perish. God knows the way of the righteous. He knows who is standing up right before him, who is walking up right before him. He's going to take care of you. In Proverbs chapter 12 and 28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof, there is no death. If you walk up right before God, you experience life. You experience life. You ever seen the picture called the Walking Dead? The people walking around, they're going from place to place. But if you look at them, you can see there's no real life inside of them. And some people, you can see they're all there jumping and skipping and doing, but they don't have life. They don't have no joy. They don't have any peace. Let us go over to Second Chronicles. Let's go to Second Chronicles. You know I like Jehoshaphat. Let's go over there and look at Jehoshaphat for some Second Chronicles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we look in the NLT for this one. I think that's what I studied this one last night. And Second Chronicles chapter 20. And let's start at verse 20. Let's start at verse 20. It said, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed or prosper. Now, the man of God he's hearing from God. But God has given his instructions early because the enemy is coming against him. And a matter of fact, he's in the valley. They're setting up for war. Okay? So go into combat. So he said, look, we got to go to God. We have to go to God because why? He's our helper. He's our shepherd. He's our defender. He's our shield. He's our buckler. Remember, we have surrendered. We have submit. We have commit. We let go of the things that we thought we really wanted or need. And we're letting God lead and guide us. This is what we're doing. Understand? Because we are in the valley. Not because we're in the valley that we're doing, but we're doing it because we know God is our shepherd. We are his sheep of his pastor. So the Jehoshaphat says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endure forever. This is what they're singing to the Lord. They're singing, praising God for his faithfulness. They're telling God how awesome he is, his splendor. Hallelujah, glory to God. Sometimes we get in there, all we want to do is sing a song or sing songs to make the congregation happy. But you know, the praise is to God first. I told you all before, when he called Moses and your son, and he gave Moses the plan, the design for the robes, for the holy robes, for Aaron and his son, the priestly robes. And he said to Moses that he knew that before, once they got this stuff and everything, they got the ephod and all this stuff, they would come and minister to him first. We forget that when we're coming in there that we minister to God first. We think, well, no, we're going to draw the congregation in. No, he does the drawing, people. Let me sing this song because the congregation will like this song. Let's play this. Let's worship. This is an awesome worship song. No, no. Who are you worshiping, the congregation or God? We find the people doing the electric slide in the church now. They're threatening in the church house. This is what they're doing. That means they're not worshiping God. They're threatening for one there to see they're behind moving back and forth. That ought to be a place that we get in there, that we begin to worship him, that the house gets so saturated with the glory of God. See, not, oh my God. It gets so saturated that people begin to get up from their chairs. People begin to sense the warmth of God in their body healing them because we're giving God all that we have. We're not holding back. Here, Jehoshaphat called for the choir. He called for the choir to go before them, go before the army. They don't have no swords, no shields. What they have is worship. They're in front of the people that have swords and spears and arrows and bows, and they're worshiping King Jesus. Listen to him. He said they worship him. They're telling God about his splendor. This is what they're saying. They give thanks unto the Lord. His faithfulness, love, endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord called the army of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. He says, yeah. See what God does? He has caused your enemy to start to fight among themselves. You don't even have to raise a weapon. You thought you had to bring your Uzi, you had to bring your 9mm, bring your sword, your machete. God said, you don't need to carry that sword anymore, machete, gun enough. Got pastors from L.A., they got the gun strap on this side. And said they're going down to Skid Row or going down to the ghetto, and they got to carry their gun. You know why? Because they don't have no faith. They don't trust the sovereign Lord. They don't trust him. No, Jehoshaphat tell her, come on, this is what we got to do. You got to get a praise together for God. He is our shepherd. He is our defender. He is our Sheila Buckler. He is our strong tower. He's the heart of our salvation. Pray to him. Worship him. Let's worship him. You all get in front. Listen with praise to God, the Most High God. And the moment they start to praise, the Bible says that God calls the enemy to attack each other. Verse 24, so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw was dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. They killed one another. Israel, Judah and Jerusalem did not have to lift a sword. The soldiers didn't have to lift a spear, shoot a bow, an arrow. Why? Because of they in the valley. And in the valley, they're praising God. They didn't wait till they win a battle and get back to the mountaintop to praise God. They were praising God while they're in the valley. Your finances look shaky today. Got sick family. Daughter's sick. Son's sick. Wife's sick. Husband's sick. Father's sick. Mother's sick. You got sickness in the family. You lost a loved one. Had to just put him in the grave. Put her in the grave. Why are you in the valley? Don't go around sulking. Praying away. Praise God. Praise God. God's going to exalt you. You're in a place of humility, man. Praise God. You don't have no money. Praise God. You have money. Praise God. Hallelujah, glory. You don't have to have stuff to praise God. Praise him anyway. Praise him anyway. Playing on knees. King Jehoshaphat, verse 24. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. See, God didn't only cause your enemy to destroy themselves, but he called them to leave everything that you need, everything that you're lacking. God caused your enemy to leave behind so you can have it more than enough. Not just enough. Hear what he says. More. It took them 3 days to pick up the plunder. That means all the gold, the silver, the purple, the linen, all that stuff, all the grapes and the apples and fruit that they left behind. You know, because when the people go to battle, they have a caravan of food and stuff because, you know, sometimes they're out there for a long time. And they're thousands of men, and you know, on the battlefield. So they have all this stuff prepared. They have meat. They have lamb and stuff, you know, baked lamb and stuff. So Jehoshaphat had the men out there. They took them 3 days to gather all this stuff together. It said that they had molded enough. It said, on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessings, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessings today. Then all the people returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat the Jehoshaphat kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. See, people are going to understand. They're going to know. Let us go over to Isaiah 40. People are going to know when you begin to praise God and God lifts up a standard for you, because the enemy coming like a flood, he's giving you the victory. Because you know, you see, you hear, the enemy's coming in like a flood. He's coming in. But the Spirit of the Lord promised to lift up a standard for his people. He said this is the heritage of the saints. So he promised this. We have to praise him. Praise him. Glorify him. I know the enemy coming against us. I know the enemy coming against me, coming against you. So what I'm doing, I'm praising. I'm praising and praying to God for us all the time. Because the enemy doesn't want to see us prosper. And I'm not talking about just financially. The enemy don't want to see us prosper spiritually. Do you understand that? Because a lot of people think it's all about finance. The enemy don't care if you get money. As a matter of fact, he'll give you all the money that you need to keep you from praising God. Because you know when your spirit is full of praise, can't do anything. He or his little agents can't do anything to you. When your spirit is full of praise, the enemy can't do anything to you. Hallelujah. Even if he come by with some sickness, that can't do you nothing. Can't keep you down. Why? Because your spirit, man, is full of praise. David says word is like medicine to the bone. The word is like medicine to the bone. So when you begin to praise and praise God, listen to them, your body begins to heal. You forget that you were just sick just a few minutes ago. You say, my God, I had that pain in my stomach. But as soon as I started praising God, I forget all about it. Yeah, I go to the church and I'm starting to preach, and I had the bad knee, the left knee. The knee's good now. But the knee was so bad. And I'm saying, Lord, I know I'm going to get no knee surgery, so I didn't even think about that. But I started to say, Lord, the in the bathroom last Sunday, the enemy, you know, the enemy going to talk to you. I know people say they're so holy, they say the enemy can't talk to them. No, the enemy talks to Jesus, he's going to talk to you too. He's going to talk to me too. So he come in the bathroom, he start talking to me, he said, man, your knee is so bad. Why you got to go down to that church building? You don't need to go down there. Stay home and let your knee heal. Well, I went on, took the shower, shaved my head, shaved my face. And a little bit of hair that was on my head and face. I don't get too much hair. So I can shave them off anyway. I don't like the nubbies. And I went on down to the church and I began to worship. I hooked up the computer through the system, you know, and let the music fill the sanctuary. And walking back and forth, talking to God and praying and stuff while the music playing. And then I started to preach and minister the word. Man, I'm telling you, Minister Jones, I'm walking back and forth, talking to God, singing and preaching. Oh, everything come to me from the Lord. I have no notes, just the scriptures, just like we're doing here. And all of a sudden, I feel like fire coming down through my left side. I started walking faster. I said, oh, my God. Lord, I thank you. I said, Lord, I thank you. I said, Lord, I thank you. Because he said, why are you praising? Why are you praising? Why are you praising him? He's going to fight the battle. That's the battle I'm dealing with. That's my body. You understand? And all of a sudden, my knee is healed. It's healed. What did he do with Jehoshaphat and Judah and Jerusalem, Israel? Because Judah and Jerusalem is Israel. What did he do with them? Show the praise thing start. He caused the people to have an ambush among themselves. Nobody was coming from outside. They had an ambush in their own minds, and they start killing one another. They kill each other till the everybody was dead. And then when Israel show up, Jehoshaphat in the crowd, all these dead, but thousands of people are laying on the ground. Thousands of people. All their swords, their spears, their bow and arrows, their shields, all their gold that they had with them, all the silver, all the linen, all the purples, all the food, everything was there. Take them total of 4 days to get everything from there. That's a lot of food. They wouldn't bury nobody. They were just taking up the food and the money and all the gold that they had with them. 4 days. I'll tell you, this God be served. You know, if you think about him, he's so awesome. Don't care how big that you can think of him, he's bigger than that. Don't care how wide you can think of him, he's wider than that. How tall he's taller than that. This God we serve is just, he's majestic, man. I like what the Lucas Bible call him, say he's sovereign. They call him the sovereign Lord Yahweh in the Lucas Bible. I love that. Here in this book of Isaiah the prophet, you know, he was sawed in half because of the gospel. See, the gospel begins from Genesis, Revelation, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the gospel begins. The gospel is all the word of God, good news. It's from Genesis to Revelation. And this man was sawed in half because he was proclaiming the word of God, Isaiah. And we sometimes, when we're going through a little headache or a little malfunction in the finances, we start getting upset with God. Why are my finances like this? Why does my body feel this way? Why I have to lose my daughter? Why I have to lose my son? Why this and this? All this why? I go through so much, man, I don't tell you all, but I have to look back and put phone at the cross. I was thinking about my sisters and my brothers, how they come against me right here on Blog Talk Radio. You all know the whole story, but we ain't preaching about that today. You know? And God just remind you. He reminds me when I think about it. So look, people turn their back on me too. And I was looking at the sermon, and I was looking at the sermon, and I said, and I wrote down, most of Jesus' disciples left him when he needed them most. That was the top of the sermon that God gave me yesterday, the day before. Most of the disciples left him, deserted him when he needed them most. They deserted him. But they had to. You know why they had to? I mean, when we look at it, because we see it in the scripture, but when we look at it and get the true understanding, spiritual understanding, the reason why they had to leave him, if they didn't leave him, we wouldn't have the word today. We wouldn't have the gospel today. He'd have to choose some other people. But they had to carry this gospel from the north to the south, from the east to the west, all over the world. So that this good word will be out here today. And they suffer persecution. They lost their lives for the gospel's sake. We don't want to go through nothing. So when a little something happens to us, we go into a pity party. Isaiah says, speak tenderly to comfort my people, says the God, says your God. He says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord God has punished her thrice over for all her sins. Excuse me. Sometimes we don't even want to get chastised 1 minute from the man of God. We don't want the man of God to say anything or woman of God to say anything to us. Then we run out who he think he is or who she thinks she is. I don't need that stuff from him. I don't need that stuff from her. I don't need them at all. I can do this all by myself. I ain't going back to no church. Because you know a lot of them say that. They ain't want to be no church. They don't want a fellowship. Because they really believe that they can do it by themselves. They had a picture called No Man's Island. When I was a young boy, I watched that picture. I can't remember Guy Cooper, somebody. One of them people, guy with blue eyes, can't remember his name. I can't see him inside of T's name. And he made a picture, No Man's Island. And it's true. No man's a church. The church has many members, but one body. And we get to a place that we can't fellowship anymore. We don't have enough honor and respect for each other that we can say, I forgive you. I forgive you and I forget what you said or what I hear. We don't have enough of that in us. But we say we love the Lord and we want to go to heaven. Can't die to self. You can't get into the valley because in the valley is testing and trials. There's war in the valley. There's temptation in the valley. How can you handle temptation in the valley if you're not willing to die? Because in the valley, you're going to try. We're going to be tried. Each and every one of us is going to be tried in the valley. Can we really stand to come out victorious from in the valley? Oh, we're going to listen to Brother John saying this and Brother Paul saying this and Brother Peter saying that, you know, Brother Cabbage, like Evangelist Brown says, and Sister Cabbage and all them saying all what they're saying. Who are we going to listen to lead us when we're in the valley? David called on God. He called on Yahweh. He said, listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. This is, he's talking with John. Fill the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. See, there's a lot of stuff that has to be moved. A lot of time we want to see things remain the same, but God said, no, some things got to be moved. In order for my glory to be revealed, some things have to be moved. Some people have to be moved. Some places have to be torn down and smoothed out so you can see. Because a lot of things are in your vision that you're not focusing right. God said these things have to come down so you can die. You're not depending or relying on them. You begin to rely on me. Me only. Me only. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, shout. I asked, what shall I shout? He said, shout that people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flower, the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is. Listen to me, people. We ought not put ourselves on pedestals because God has given us a building. Because God has given us a new job. Because God has given us more than enough. Don't put yourself on a building. Because all that stuff you got to leave behind. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. All that stuff, going, you own 2 or 3 buildings, but you can't carry neither one with you. Enjoy with people. Share with people. Give to people. And let them enjoy what the Lord has blessed you with. Because when you leave, you can't carry anything. And teach your children the same thing. If you got to leave stuff for your children to love, share with other people that's in need. Give to other people that's in need. Because when you leave here, you can't take anything. And if you give some to the grandchildren, tell them the same thing. Share with people. Give to people in need. Because when we leave here, we can't take anything. We came in here naked. We're going back up naked. Even the clothes on our back, the mulch in the grave. Them worms down there going to eat your clothes, going to eat your shoes, eat your tie. And the grave digger won't take your gold or your Rolex rocks out of the grave. When they dig you up again to somebody to use that grave, they'll take your Rolex out of the ground, take your gold bracelet, your gold necklace, your diamond rings, all that stuff they will take. I'm telling you something, the truth. God revealed this to me some time ago, changed my life. He says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. I want you to know the only thing going to stand. From generation to generation. Thank you. I see your Pastor Goodish in India. Listen, the only thing going to stand is the word of God. So this is what we got to hold on to. He said, oh, Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah your God is coming. What are we telling them today? We tell them now, name it and claim it. Not us on this line here. I know these preachers on this line, they're preaching some doctrine. But you hear most of them highfalutin ones that got the 30,000 members and have tree services. They're telling the people, you can have it. And all they're talking about blessings. And they're encouraging people to mess up and be jacked up. And so all you got to do is go back and ask for forgiveness, repent. If you get out and go on your husband or your wife and you go steal or cut the door, get high, just go and repent.
Well, if you believe that, every time you try to send Christ back to the cross, you're not going back to the cross. Where are you going to continue? Paul says, because grace abounds, should we continue sin? He said, God forbid. So you're going to repent because grace. Grace is not free. It costs him his life. But we're going to continue to sin over and over and over and over. Because he said, if you repent, he'll forgive you. Now you go back. Listen. Verse 10 says, yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He brings in judgment. That's a reward. Those of us that make a decision to live holy, to live by the standards of God as living holy, we will get a righteous reward. But those that live contrary to God's word would get a reward of some judgment. They're going to be chastised. They're going to get a condemning reward. He says, this is the verse that we had here from the other book, from the Psalms. He says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms. This is you, new Christians, or babies, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Let's go to another scripture. Go to Ezekiel 37. Let's start at verse 1. Ezekiel in the Logos Bible. The hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he brought me by the Spirit of Yahweh, and he let me rest in the midst of the valley. And it was full of dry bones, full of bones. And he led me all around over them. And look, very many of the surface of the valley, and look, very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, Lord Yahweh, you know. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and you must say to them, to the dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. This is the key right here. Not the word of the prophet, but you got to hear. The prophet is speaking the word, but you got to hear the word of Yahweh, of God, from the prophet's mouth. Hallelujah. Thus says the Lord Yahweh to these bones. Look, I am bringing into you breath, and you will live. And I will lay you sinews, muscles, and I will let flesh come upon you. And I will cover you, and I will cover you over with skin, and I will put breath in you, into you, and you will live, and you will know that I am Yahweh. See, the word of God gives us life. When we are in the valley of distress, when we are in the valley of confusion, and we know confusion don't come from God, we need the breath of God to blow on us. We need God to speak a new word to us. We need a word of encouragement from God to elevate us to that realm of holiness again, because now we are away from holiness. We are in the valley of distress. We are dead. We are dry. Hallelujah. We are dry on the inside, and we need fresh oil from heaven. He says, I prophesied as being commanded, and there was a sound at my prophesying. And look, a rattling, and they came to get the bones. The bones, bone to its bones. And I looked, and indeed, sinews were on them, muscles. And flesh went up, and skin cover over them, upward. But breath was not in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath or the ear. Prophesy, son of man, and you must say to the breath, the ear, the wind, thus says the Lord Yahweh from the four winds, come, O spirit and breath, on these dead ones, so that they may live. And I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they became alive, and they stood on their feet, a very, very large group, the army. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are all of the house of Israel. Look, they are saying our bones are dried up and our hope is destroyed. We are cut off as far as we are concerned. Therefore, prophesy, and you must say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, your grace. Sometimes we got to look at the people and see them as God sees them. Oh, we don't want to say the truth, but we got to see them as God sees them. People are in the house. Listen to me. People are in the house and they're dying. They're not in the grave yet. They're spiritually dying. They're shouting and singing and dancing, but they're spiritually dying. They're making noise, but they don't have no life. And we have to, or we should prophesy so they can live. And this is what he says here. He told us to prophesy to them and say that they're coming out the grave. Do you hear what he says? Glory to God. He said, look, I am opening your graves, and I will bring you up from your graves, my people, and I will bring you to the land of Israel, and you will know that I am Yahweh when I open your graves, when I bring you up from your graves, my people, and I will put my breath into you so that you may live, and I will cause you to rest on your soil, and you will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken, and I will act, declares Yahweh. Listen, this is such an anointed word, because as I'm seeing this, God is speaking to me. He said, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, take for yourself a piece of wood, and write on it for Judah and for the Israelites, his associates. And take another piece of wood and write on it for Joseph, the piece of wood of Ephraim and all of the house of Israel, his associates. And join them one to another with respect to you as one piece of wood, so that they may become one in your hand. When your people say to you, saying, will you not inform us as to what these actions mean to you? Then speak to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh. Look, I am taking a piece of wood for Joseph that is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of the Israel. Its associate, and I will put them on it, the piece of wood of Judah, and I will make them into one piece of wood, so that they be one in my hand. See, God wants the people to become one. See, because when he returned, he only coming for one church. There's a big elaboration on this in the Logos Bible, but I'm not hitting you that from there. Just give you what the Lord gave me. You know, what happened is God wants his people to become one. We have many churches, and it's a great division. You got the Baptist over here. You got the Episcopal Church over here. You got the Catholic over here. You got the Apostolic over here. You got the Pentecostal over here. You know, there's so many different churches. And so it's a great division, but God wants them to become one. Because when he come back, he's going to come back for one church. Not seven, not eight, not nine, not ten, only one. He's not going to have 10 brides. He's only going to have one bride. You said the black church don't want to go over to the white church. The white church don't want to go to the oriented church. The Asian church don't want to go over to the Filipino. You know, they set a separation. And God wants us to become one. We should be able to work. Fellowship with one another as the body of Christ. But there's a great, he's saying right here, we got to become one. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Yeah, I might do a part two of this. I don't know. But let's go to Revelation chapter 11. And I got somewhere else I want to go. Revelation chapter 11. Jesus, have mercy on us. Revelation. One preacher was preaching the other on YouTube, and he says, I'm in the book of Revelations, and I got that. I said, it was only Revelation, not Revelations. So, you know, all frantic. Revelation chapter 11, and let's start at verse 1 and see what the Holy Spirit gives us here. He said, and a measuring rod, similar in appearance to his staff, was given to me, verse 1, saying, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Now, I studied this last time. This year was pick me up a little higher. He says, not only he imagined the altar, but he imagined the people that are inside the sanctuary. He said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Imagine them. And leave out the courtyard outside of the temple. And do not measure it because it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses. Talk about Moses and Elijah. Some people say Enoch and Elijah, but we believe it's Moses and Elijah. And they will prophesy for 1,260 days or 3.5 years. Dressed in sackcloth. No, they don't have no fancy robes. You see that? They're dressed in... Okay. Okay. So... here, so, glory to God. And if anyone, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire comes out of their mouth and consumes their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them in this way, he must be killed. You know, at this particular time, if you try to harm these two servants of God, it might cost you your life. It will. These verses comprise the second interlude between the sixth and seventh trumpet judgment, similar to chapter 7. During the seal judgment, chapter 10, and the this episode in chapter 11 disrupts the sequence of events. John introduces the concept of measuring the temple and connotes God's protection and preservation of his people. He also presents two witnesses as God's prophetic harbingers and impending wrath. Perhaps by the angel from chapter 10 or by God. The measuring, the staff was with a standardized length used for taking measurements. Measure, this suggests God's protection of in the measuring area. Their preservation from spiritual harm recalls the sealing activity of chapter 7, where the 144,000 are protected prior to the opening of the seventh seal and unleashing of the trumpet judgment and unleashing of the demonic forces in chapter 9, verse 9 and chapter 9, verse 4. The temple of God, the Jerusalem temple could have been destroyed by the time John wrote his apocalypse. This temple may refer to a future rebuilt temple. The heavenly temple mentioned elsewhere in Revelation, or the church of God's temple as God's temple, either throughout history or in final tribulation period. Note chapter Revelation 1 and 19 and 1, 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Now, the courtyard outside the temple refers to the courtyard of the Gentiles, the designated space for non-Jews visiting the temple. Gentiles who ventured beyond its confines into the holy place risk death if caught. Gentiles contrast with those who worship in the sanctuary. The Gentiles here represent unbelievers upon whom judgment is coming, Revelation 11 and 1. 42 months, restated in verse 3, or 1,260 days compares chapter 12, verse 6, and chapter 13, verse 5. Both figures define, according to traditions from Daniel, the length of the persecution of God's people, Daniel 7 and 25, Daniel 12, 11 and 12. This could refer literally to a future tribulation or symbolically to the whole amount of time between Jesus' first and second coming, when God's people are under pressure from the nations, Revelation 7 and 14. Now, my two witnesses, the identity of these two figures is unknown. They may be symbolic of the overall witness of the church during tribulation. Alternatively, these two witnesses may be actually prophets who come to earth and proclaim God's message. 1,260 days dressed in sackcloth suggested their somber ministry and they're calling on the nations to repentance. The two olive trees, this echoes the reference in Zechariah and two anointed ones, Zechariah 4, verse 11 to 14. These may be identified with the post-textilic high priest, Joshua, and the Davidic descendants, Zerubbabel, but both of whom were instrumental in the temple restoration. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. John seems to be appropriating this tradition of priestly and kingly figures and reapplying it to his two witnesses. The two lampstands earlier in Revelation, lampstands are identified with the churches in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 and 20. Only two of these churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, were entirely faithful and received no rebuke. Their two witnesses thus may be a symbol of the church bearing faithful witness. In chapter 11, verse 5, we see here, and if anyone wants to hurt them, fire comes out of their mouth and consumes their enemy. Now, this is a very powerful, powerful verse. These representatives of God has power and has authority. Now, they have this power and authority. They can shut up the heaven that it does not rain, and they can open heaven so it rains. And we see that Elisha did that. He shut up heaven for 3.5 years. It didn't rain. And then he opened, prayed for rain, and heaven opened. And there was a mudslide. These men had authority. These men were holy men. These men lived upright and walked upright before God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is what I believe that God is calling for us, even right here in this time that we are living in, that God is calling for us to live holy so that power would manifest through us. The power of God is not going to manifest if we are one day holy, next day unholy. It's like one foot in the church and one foot in the world. God's power is not going to flow through it. We're going to speak kindly or lovely or prophetically, and we're going to speak like though we have authority, but we're not manifesting authority or power because we are not living what God is calling us. God is calling us to, as I said earlier, we must totally surrender to God, submit to God, commit to God, and let go of self, all of what we think we really want in this world. We have to let go. We're not going, I don't want to be socializing with certain people. I'm praying for everybody, but I'm not socializing with everybody. Why? Because light and darkness cannot travel together. Hallelujah. Two people can't walk together unless they're in agreement. So I'm not going with everybody. I'm praying for everybody. Everybody. I don't care what their sin is. I'm praying for everybody. But I'm not going with everybody. Why? Because I want this power to manifest to me. I want God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want God to be pleased with the work that I'm doing. You understand? I'm not making any money. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because I love God and I love his people. I love his people. So you can't love God and hate his people. You can't pick and choose who you want to pray for. You got to pray for everybody. You understand? You got to pray for everybody. Glory to God. So listen, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We thank you for what you have given us today. Lord, we have about 6 more scriptures we want to give, but we stop right there. We ask God to just bless the word today. The word is blessed. And we thank God for what he has given us and what he has poured out of this vessel. Here in this chapter, God has spoken so clearly and so much authority. If you get a chance, read this chapter. You can read it all the way. It's a very powerful chapter in the book of Revelation. You know, it's not a long chapter, but you can study it. You know, it's only 19 verses. You can study it in your own time, and I tell you something, it will bless you. Matter of fact, study all the scriptures. It will bless you. Allow God to use you. This text here really shows you that God is concerned about us. And the only way we're gonna operate or walk in that power, that anointing. One pastor used to say all the time, don't follow the crowd, but follow the cloud. And it's a difference, you know. Some people only want to be in a place of worship where there's the church have 2,000-3,000 people, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 people in there. And they say, man, our church is full. Our church, we got 15,000 people. At any time you go to church, it's filled to the max. And they want to be in that place, but there's no power. There's no authority, you know, because the headship is not living a holy lifetime. God, holiness is not going to flow through no broken vessel. That's why the vessel's got to, that's why he said you don't put a new wine in old wine skins. And what would happen that eventually when the wine begin to ferment, it will bust the wine skins. So the wine skins have to be new, have to be renewed. So we need to get to the place where we allow God to renew us. You know, just surrender to God. God, look at where I am, Lord. I'm not where I need to be, Lord. Yes, I thank you that I'm not where I used to be, but I know, God, I'm not where I used to be, Lord. I need you to, oh, God, to fix me from the inside out, God. God, clean up the desires that comes in my mind that is not of you, God. Oh, God, talk to God and let God. He knows, but he needs you because he needs the enemy to know that you know where to go when you want to be clean, when you want to be purified. He wants you to say that. That's not for him, but for the enemy to know. I know where to go when I need clean water. Hallelujah. I go to Jesus. I know when I want bread that, oh, God, that never my stomach never go empty. I go to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So glory to God. I just thank God and praise God for this. If you want to write down these scriptures in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20 to 30, in Psalm 23, verse 1 to 6, Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 11,
and I did Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to about 19, I think. I can't remember. I was just flowing as the Spirit gave me that. And then it's Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. And take down 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 38, and John chapter 5, verse 28, Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28, Psalm verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6, Psalm 5, verse 8. And this other scripture that I bring in, brought in as I was traveling, I can't remember right now, but that, it just came to me as I was teaching. We can study those scriptures down for yourself. And this is talking about dying to self, really. Dying to self so that you can live in the valley. Because in the valley is where you really want to praise God. I mean, you want to praise him on the mountaintop. You want to praise him everywhere. But there's times that we're going to feel like we are in the valley. This is what I'm saying. And when you feel like you're in the valley, it's the time that you need to pray even the most. You know, when stuff is happening to you, like I just got that message there just now. My mother-in-law have to go to the emergency care. She is 94 years old, and she's starting to lose her memory or mind or whatever you call it. And she fell, and she don't remember where she fell, and she fractured her ankle, and she's not able to walk well. So they were banding up this and banding up this, but finally they have to take her there so she might get a shot or something and may have to put her ankle in space. But Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, because we know all things are done for your glory. And Father, nothing happened that you don't know about and nothing that you are not able to fix. We ask, O God, that you fix Mother Cohen, and Lord, you keep her secure in your arms, and whatever needs to be done, Lord, we know that you are able to do it. Lord, we call it finished already. We call it finished already, Lord God, because you are that kind of God. We call it finished. And we thank you for doing it for her right now. Lord, making the impossible possible, oh God, that she will go in and get out and get back home to her apartment. Oh, we just bless your holy name and praise your holy name. Thank you for those that came on today and heard this miraculous word that you have given to us. Lord, we ask you to continue to heal, continue to deliver, and continue to restore, God. God, we ask you to build up your people. Build up your people today, that your people walk in holiness, walk in righteousness, oh God. That we walk upright before you, God. That we be a light and a lamp in this darkened world, oh God. As if people see us and hear us, they know without a shadow of doubt, God, that we belongs to you, that we are yours, O God. Our Father, we just honor you right, you, Father God. Lord, bless the hearing of the words that hear this word all over the world. Thank you for Pastor Goodish out of India showed up on the line. We just thank God for him. And Father, we just pray right now for the services that's going to happen this weekend. We pray for every house of worship that will take place this weekend, Lord God. Lord, we pray that the people come together and begin to pray, God. There's so much going on in our nation, oh God. They're setting up and making all the plans, oh God, to eliminate people. They say they're spraying all of these chemicals in the atmosphere. And the man was saying last night, he said that you can't naturally smell and determine the smell, but you got to be careful when you're out there in the nighttime, because they're not doing it in the daytime. They're doing it in the nighttime. And he said, be careful when you go that night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We pray today, God, for every unsaved person right now, Lord God. Everyone that haven't called upon you in repentance, Lord, we ask you to give them an opportunity today, Lord. We know that, Father, you sent your Son, oh God, that he would reach out not to condemn, but it come that he might save, to seek and to save that which is lost. You said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And, oh God, you sent your son into this world not to condemn the world, but, oh God, that the world through him might be saved. We pray today, oh God, that people will come out of darkness, because men have loved darkness rather than light. They will come out of darkness and come into the light, that they would hear your call and they will receive your drawing and come to the light, oh God. We pray today that everyone will repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We pray, Father God, that people will know that, God, that you commanded your love toward us, that while we were yet sinning, Christ died for us, Lord God. We recognize, oh God, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, Lord, you said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today for reaching down from your throne in glory and reaching into time and touching us today, touching the world today, oh God, with your word. You said that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word stands forever, oh God. Like we says, all the cars and the house and every stuff that we hope to have, we can't take one from. Pray, Father God, Lord God, that you allow us to enjoy all the gifts and talents that you have given us, O God, and that we use the gifts, O God, for your glory, O God. We pray today in the name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name, that name that has power, that knees will bow and tongues will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. In heaven and on the earth and under the earth, they will bow. They will bow. They will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. We just pray today that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you would take this time, this moment. See, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. But you would take this moment, O God, to receive Jesus as your Lord. Receive him as your Savior, that you will repent right where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, I am sorry. I repent for living contrary to your command, for doing my own thing, trying to please my own flesh. But today I heard the word of God, and I believe what the word says, that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that, God, you raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart confession is made. Oh God, I lost that. With the mouth confessing me on salvation, with the heart, let's go in here. I'm losing it. My mind is going to confess. I just heard that stuff and it's going, have my heart going somewhere, Bishop. You know, apostle, my heart is, mind is going somewhere because I'm studying. I just heard that thing that happened, that just about happening, is taking my thoughts off. But he says that if the confess with the mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in the heart, God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes on righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. I know that scripture by heart. But, you know, a lot of things is going through my head now with my mother-in-law in that aspect to me right now. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just believe that this is your day. That if you would just focus on your soul right now and just see to yourself, I mean, if you just examine your own heart right now and see if you die right now, if you will go to heaven or hell. We know that a lot of people in the world today are saying they don't believe in heaven or hell. But according to this manuscript that I have here, it says that heaven is real and hell is real. Jesus said so himself. So if you don't know where you would end up, this is the right time for you to invite Christ Jesus in your heart. Time for you to repent according to Acts 2:30. Just repent. Tell the Lord that you are sorry and that you want to come to him. Ask him to draw you to him. Say, Lord Jesus, draw me to you. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sin. Every one, and there are many, too many for me to count, but you know them all. So I repent of my sin, and I denounce Satan, who was in control of my life, and his agents, and even the world system, ties me to come after it. I repent for going after the things of the world. I come to you, Jesus, with great anticipation, great expectation, knowing that you're the only one who can save my soul. I believe in the blood that was shed at Calvary and the water that came over your side. Wash my sins away and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I invite you now to come into my heart. Take control of my heart. Take up residence on the throne of my heart. Be the Lord of my life, my Savior, my Deliverer, my Restorer, and my soon coming King. I receive you now. Jesus, thank you for dying for me and give me access to the tree of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done and all that you will do to keep me on that straight and narrow path. I receive you now as my Lord. If you just said that on common prayer and you believe it in your heart, I tell you without a shadow of doubt, because I just repeated it in my mouth. I tell you, as I was seeing it, my spirit was speaking it too. You have just received the gift of salvation. Now, we obviously, there's much more to be done. And you have to start by getting the Bible and studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Or you can start at Revelation, but this is what God, get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you'll have a gospel understanding of this great Savior, this great Redeemer, this awesome, mighty, sovereign God that we speak about every day here on Blog Talk Radio, and his disciples, the one he trained, the ones he taught, and send them out in the world to preach the gospel, to heal, to deliver, to restore. You will learn about them. Hallelujah. And then we want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone who know how to baptize in Jesus' name, like Peter talked about in Acts 2 and 30, and tell them you received the gift of salvation. You don't have to mention our names. Just say you received the gift of salvation, that you know you are saved, because you got to know that you know that you know that you know for yourself that you're saved, because the enemy going to try to make you think that you're not saved. Till you believe all that stuff that man's saying over there, that woman's saying over there, that what the enemy going to tell you. You believe all that stuff they're saying. But you got to tell the enemy, shut up your mouth. Jesus said it, I believe it, that said it. Call up the preacher and tell him you want me baptized in Jesus' name. If they say they don't baptize that way, say, well, okay, no problem. I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I get my family together. Don't leave by getting mad with the pastor and talking out your side of your neck, because, as I always said, they may bring you back to that church. You may get an opportunity to come to that church, and if they recognize you, that you was the one who talked bad to the pastor, disrespectful, they would not give you the job. Always leave your bridge open. Don't burn the bridge. So you can always cross back over into the town, having that you got to pass back. You can pass back over that bridge. But either way, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies when you get an opportunity to baptize. Because this is a great day of your life. The day that you're going to be baptized, most likely you're going to have to go to a baptismal class. Because that's what we do. We teach you all about the reason why you're being baptized. We just don't put you in the water and say you're baptized in Jesus' name. We're going to teach you for a couple of weeks. You come to a couple of classes, and we're going to break it down for you by the word of God and show you why you're being baptized. I have a lot of stuff, notes on baptism. And then when you're baptizing, getting baptized, we call it the liquid grave. You're going down this grave, and everything that was hindering you, keeping you back, blocking you from coming to Jesus when he called, is going to be left in that grave. You're leaving it there. You're declaring that you're leaving it there. And then the people are going to see that you really meant business when you say you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because now you said it with your mouth, but you're showing it with action now, going in the water and being baptized in Jesus' name. And you come up in Jesus' name. You go down there, leaving all that heavy weight, burdens in the water, and you come up in the rich righteousness of who Christ said you are in God. Find you a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, my brother, my sister, and get yourself involved in ministry. I started cleaning the bathroom. I take off my suit jacket. I put on my overall. Even I got the overall in my truck. And if I go to a church, I got tools. My truck have a lot of tools in back there. And if I come to your church and you're in my neighborhood, my city, and I had to drive to your church and some go around with your air conditioner or your furnace, I would tell you no problem. And I go to my truck, jump into my overall, and I would go into your thing, and I would fix your air conditioner. I have digital testers and all that stuff that I carry in my truck. fuses and all type of stuff, and breakers and stuff, and I will fix your stuff. But get yourself involved in the ministry. Start somewhere. You can't start at the top. You can't start at the altar. Start doing something. You know, a pastor might have you be an usher at the door. You know, a gatekeeper, and that's the job I always wanted, a gatekeeper of God's house. Go there and start doing something. You may be the one that the pastor said, well, you're responsible for cleaning the altar and sanctuary. You vacuum the sanctuary, you take the spraying stuff and you spray it on the pulpit. You know, you keep everything clean, sanitized. You know, that's ministry too. If I always say, if nobody don't pick up the trash, you won't be able to come in the parking lot. If they don't clean the bathroom, when people go to the bathroom, they will say, man, the church music, the worship is good, the preaching is good, but, man, the bathroom is filthy. Somebody got to do that. All that's ministry. You understand? So we thank God for you. We praise God for you being here with us today and for all those that rededicate your life. Because if you have slide back, slide away from God, because, you know, backsliding don't happen suddenly. It's a slow slide. Slow slide. You find yourselves just sliding and then church anymore. You're not studying your Bible. You're not praying, you know, because it's not just not going to the Bible, going to the church, to the church building. You stop studying your Bible. You stop praying. All that's in backsliding. You can rededicate your life. You can say the same prayer and ask the Lord to accept you back in the family of believers, you know. Say, the Lord, you saw you. You didn't realize how far you were, but you find yourself sliding away from your call. You're not studying. You're not reading. You're not fasting. You're not fellowshipping. You know, tell the Lord. You know it all. You know where you are. You know exactly where you are in the body. And the Lord Jesus will welcome you back home. His arms is like the prodigal father. He is always looking out the window. He's looking out the door. Matter of fact, he's always standing out on the front porch. He's looking up the street, down the street, across the street. He's looking for that wayward son or daughter that will turn away from him, that rejected him and said, well, they're going back into the world. He don't give up on you. He just don't give up on you. He's a good father. He's always looking out for the lost child, the lost sheep that left the fold. So just rededicate your life and come back home. Let the Lord know. Let the Lord know that you're so sorry. And ask him to fix the areas of your life that you're weak. And guess what he'll do? He'll fix it. He fixed mine, so I know he'll fix yours. God bless you all, and thank God for everyone that received the gift of salvation and everyone that will receive at a later date. This is your day. And I just thank God for blessing you with life, new life. Life that no one else could give you but him. I couldn't give it, but, you know, he gave you. He called you through the prayer. God bless you all and have a blessed day. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond. If anybody wants to respond, you could. You're free to. We still got 44 minutes to record. The line is open. Oh, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for those that were able to come on and heard the word. And, O God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, we pray blessings over everyone that came on today, Lord. We thank you for Apostle Stewart. Thank you for Minister Jones. Thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser. Thank you for Pastor Goodish over in there. We ask, God, that you bless them, bless the ministry. Lord, protect us, O God, as we are in perilous times and the enemy is coming in like a flood, but we thank God for your spirit, that you are lifting up a standard for us, O God, that you're not leaving us fatherless or helpless, O God, but you are our helper. You are the one who keeps us and protects us, O God, who shields us, O God, and the enemy will not prosper, will not win. Oh, Father, we just pray, God, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, oh God, and bless us when we go. We ask, oh God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you, oh God, that you be our shield and our buckler, that you be our strong tower, oh God, that you be our mighty battle axe, oh God. We are depending on you, relying on you, oh God, trusting you to do for us what no one else can do. Oh God, we thank you today. We thank you today, Jesus. We thank you today. We ask you to protect Mother Cohen as she go to for her testing, her checkup. They look at her leg. Lord, let them don't find any bad thing inside there. But let whatever's going on in her leg be fixable, oh God. Oh God, that they be able to put a wrap on it, put a pop, pass the power, what you call it, on it, and heal her leg, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God. We are praying this, oh God, from the center of our heart, and we know that you are able to do it, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and we glorify your name. Father, bless us as we leave this land with ever your presence. And Lord, we ask, oh God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Oh God, remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. Might stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. It just simply means that all the attributes, the characteristics of Jesus should be seen in the way we respond, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we treat people. It should be seen in our life because we are his ambassadors. We are his children. We are the ones that he paid the price for to get out of darkness into his light. And the light should be shining in our lives so that people will see our good works and glorify the Father. God bless you all. I love you all so much. We shall be back here tomorrow if the Lord say the same. I don't know if our pastor, our prophetess Shirley is going to come in tomorrow because she's dealing with her daughter. We've been praying for her daughter. Daughter had a massive stroke. And anyway, she had been in such a bad shape, but a lot of people have been praying all over the world for her, and they was able to send her home because, you know, don't keep you in the hospital too long these days. You know, because you're not able to pay the thousands upon thousands of dollars. They don't keep you in there. But she said we've got to pray for her brain. She's not functioning 100% in the brain. So we are believing that God is going to refurbish everything that needs to be refurbished. In other words, put everything back in order that needs to be put in order. You know, God is not a God of disorder. He's going to put either God of order. He's going to put everything back in order. So we are believing that, that she would get back all of her senses. Everything would come back and she'd be able to function that way. So keep her in prayer. Her name is Angel. I think that's the name that the prophet says her daughter's Angel. So keep her in prayer that God would finish what he started. But he said he would do it, and we believe he will do it. Keep her in prayer, okay? God bless you all, and we know that God is doing a great work. We've been praying for all you guys this morning, early in the morning. We call you all name up before the Lord. And we know that he's watching over your church. He's watching over your ministry. He's watching over your family as he's watching over mine. Glory to God. So just keep him in prayer, okay? Keep her in prayer. Keep each other in prayer. Let's pray for each other because the enemy is trying to bring serious division among the body of Christ. But we have to stand together. God bless you all. I love you, but Christ love you more. And I hope to see you all on tomorrow. I hate when I'm not here, but I got to go from day, some days go, because I have to help people, you know, that are less fortunate than us. So we have to go out to make some money to help the poor, you know, help the children in Africa and India. So just pray our strength when we are not here, that we will be safe wherever we go to do the little job. God bless you all, and hope to see you tomorrow. All right, God, bye-bye.